Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
We are in the book of Titus, if you haven't found that yet, there in the New Testament. Let me pray for us before we get into the message. Father God, we thank you for the time that we have today to be gathered together as your people in this place, Lord. We thank you for your word, God, how it speaks to our hearts. It instructs us. The passage that Jenny challenged the kids to memorize and invited us into as well in that time there, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God, so true. And so, Lord, light our hearts, light our path today with your word as we spend time in it. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we conclude Titus, I got to thinking about things because we're in one of those sections in the book of Titus at the end that it's very tempting to skip over, to ignore. But I want to back up and just give us some context in this. See, here at Salt Creek Church, we believe that the Bible, and your Bible might look different than mine, but that the Bible that we have is the Word of God. It is given to us that we might know God and that we might find salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, within the Bible, there are 66 of what we call books in the Bible. And of those 66, 39 of them are in what we call the Old Testament, or what is sometimes known as, to the Jews, to Israel, as the Tanakh, the Jewish Tanakh, or the Hebrew Scriptures. Sometimes we refer to it as that. And these books tell us of the promised coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One of Israel, who will bring mankind back into right relationship with God and eventually reign over all the earth. And so that is the point of all of those books, is to point towards the Messiah that is coming. Now, there are also 27 of those books that are in what we call the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we find out that Jesus of Nazareth is that promised Messiah. And that through his death and his resurrection, he provided a way for our sins to be forgiven, and we can be restored to a right relationship with God through faith in him. That Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator and sustainer of life, and the only way to eternal life is through faith in him and what he has done for us. Amen? Now, in those 27 books of the New Testament, there's 5 books that tell us of the life of Jesus and his first followers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts, the second volume of Luke. All right, so those 5 books describe the life of Jesus, his first followers. Then there is one book that is written about the future things that are to come, the book of Revelation. And then there are these 21 other books, and we call them books, but there's a term for them that is, they are epistles, that is the Greek term for letters. And they are letters from one person to either a group of people like a church, or letters from one person to another person. And so if you'd forgotten, this book of Titus is one of these letters, one of these epistles. So just, and I mentioned that word so you know, epistles are not the wives of the apostles. Epistles are these letters, right? Sometimes growing up in Sunday school, the kids think epistles and apostles, and they get those a little mixed up there. And in these letters are all the portions of what a normal letter written in that time period would have. And so you see these things in the beginning where there's a word of blessing and a greeting, and the author identifies themselves. There are minor exceptions to this rule in some of these, but by and large, they all follow these same patterns that were common in writing letters in that day. And at the end of the letters are personal comments, personal details, and a salutation at the end. Well, that's the section of Titus that we're looking at today. And those are those sections, like I said, that sometimes it's a little tempting to just skip over them or just to read through them super fast and not really pay much attention, because it's a lot of people's names that we're not sure who they are and why they're being mentioned, but they were important to the author and those types of things. And it can be hard to understand, what does this have to do with my faith today? How does this help me understand what Jesus has done for me and such? But we also know that in 2 Timothy 3:16, it tells us that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching and correction and rebuking and training in righteousness. And so we're going to read these words and we're going to go to the Lord to see what is God speaking to us in these words today. One of these passages that we might otherwise be tempted to overlook. So it is Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. All right, we've got it on the screen for you as well. You can read along in your Bible. And we read these words. So this is, again, it's the Apostle Paul writing this letter. He's writing it to Titus, who is the leader of the churches in Crete. Okay? So he says, "When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me in Nicopolis, because I have decided to spend the winter there. Diligently help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey so that they will lack nothing. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works for pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. All those who are with me send you greetings. Greet those who love us in the faith, and grace be with you all." So this is how Paul closes out the letter. He's got some information that's important for Titus to understand. And these are little details that were essential at that time that might seem unnecessary for us. But we can ask some questions of the text, like, well, why is this important? What's going on? What are the relationships here? And what can we understand about how does God work in the midst of this? And why are there more people involved here? And what is God doing through them and with them? And why all of this stuff? So those are some of the questions that we're asking today. And as we think about our theme of grace in this, we come to this understanding that grace calls us to certain things in this, because grace tells us that none of us are perfect. None of us have it all together. We are saved by grace, a free gift from God. And so we live by that same grace. We serve by that same grace. We worship in that same grace, all of those things. And so it is grace that calls us to these important understandings in this section. And the first one is this, that grace calls us to cooperate by sharing our ministry with others. Now, it could have been tempting for Titus to, being put in position of authority over all of the churches on Crete, to say, "Hey, I've got this, Paul. I don't need help. I got this under control. You gave me this job. Don't tell me how to do it. I don't need any help." And maybe we've been there, or maybe we know people that have been there, and that's kind of how they approach it, that you give them a little bit of authority and all of a sudden they're on a power trip, right? But ministry doesn't work that way. God didn't design it that way. He designed it to be shared amongst his people. And so we see here in verse 12 where he says, "I'm sending Artemas or Tychicus to you, and then I'm going to need you to come back to me." So this important ministry that Paul left Titus in Crete to do, and he's been working diligently at it, maybe not seeing a whole lot of fruit yet, and he might be getting to the good part of the ministry, but guess what? Somebody else is going to come take over, and they might reap the fruit of the work that you've sowed. I mean, we don't know exactly where Titus is at in this process. We don't know how much frustrations he's dealt with, how many victories he's been able to celebrate, but now he has to be willing to pass it off to someone else. because he doesn't own it. None of us own the ministry. It is all the Lord's. And so we understand this, that Titus is one of many team members in this ministry that Paul is spearheaded of taking the gospel to the Gentile world. And we always talk about the Apostle Paul being the foremost church planter, but listen, he could not have done what he did, what God did through him, would not have happened had there not been other men and women willing to be used by God in starting these churches, supporting Paul financially, in prayer, staying in places when Paul couldn't, and preaching the gospel in places where he wasn't able to get to. Now, it's not because there's some inherent weakness in Paul. Again, it's not that he couldn't do it all. That's not the point, that there was something wrong with him. But God designed the church to work this way. That it's never dependent upon one person. The body of Christ doesn't work in that. We need each other. No one of us is able to do all the work that God has for his church to do. Nor does anyone of us have all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that it takes to do the work of God. We look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when we think about spiritual gifts. This is a key passage for us. And in verses 4 to 7, we read these words where it says, "Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good." So we understand in that passage that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here, right? Spirit, Lord, God, you see the Trinity in this passage, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all working in the various ministries through the various gifts and the different activities within the kingdom of God to bring about the mission that God has for his church. It takes more than one person. It takes a team. It takes the body of Christ. So we see this idea that the church or the body of Christ is given a gift and that there are a variety of gifts given. So each person has a gift and there are different. So no one person has all of the gifts and everybody has at least a gift to offer and the Spirit of God works through those gifts. In addition to that, later in chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, we read these words where Paul says, "But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be?" And in that passage, it talks about if we're all noses, where's the sense of sight? Or if we're all eyes, we can't smell. All these body imagery in that. So if we're all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So what does that mean for us? That means, well, let's talk about what it means for Titus. It means, Titus, you had your gifts and you are in that spot because God designed you with those gifts for that spot. But guess what? Artemis or Tychicus is going to come and relieve you because now your gifts are needed elsewhere and God has given them a different set of gifts and he's going to put them because God designed each of us to be where he needs us to be and desires for us to be. And he's prepared us and gifted us for that ministry where he's going to place us. See, God never puts you somewhere to serve him that he hasn't already prepared you to do so. He's gifted and empowered you to do that very thing. So what this means for us is that we are all here as part of Salt Creek Church. Because God has designed us to be here and to use our gifts to serve here and through this body. So whether we're serving another believer within the body, whether we're serving someone through a ministry of the church, or whether we're serving someone in our neighborhood as part of the church, God has designed it to work in that way. And he's gifted you and empowered you to do so. Because we are all one team, working together for the ministry that God has for us, because ministry is shared. No one of us does all of it. So Paul understood that it was not a solo venture. He had to leave Crete. He had to move on. He left Titus behind to do that. Now, Paul writes about this thing that it is not a solo venture. And we wonder, well, what was Paul's attitude in this? Was there jealousy that crept up? Was there competition that took place? Well, interestingly enough, in Corinth, in the church in Corinth, this happened. There were divisions that were starting within the church. And there were people that were saying, hey, I'm a disciple of Paul, so I'm better than you. And other people said, yeah, but Apollos brought me to faith, which makes me better than you. And there were these divisions based on who discipled them. Who did they receive the gospel from? And what did Paul have to say about that? It's in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. A couple of verses out of that chapter. He says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed. And each one has the role the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God is the one who gave the growth. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. See, Paul got it. He understood this, that it didn't matter who planted, it didn't matter who shared the gospel first. It didn't matter that somebody else then sat down maybe with other scriptures and that person prayed with that person to receive Christ, or this person got to do the discipling once they came to faith. And that didn't matter. No one role is more important than the other role. He doesn't say, for we are competitors in religious goods trying to build our own kingdoms bigger than the other person so that more people will buy my books and come to my conferences rather than that person's conferences and read their books. And if you don't think that's happening in Christianity, you got to open your eyes. There's a lot of that that happens out there. Paul said, we are co-workers. We are on the same team. We are working together for the same gospel, serving the same Lord. And we need to have that same understanding, that same posture. We need to have the humility of a Titus that says, okay, if the team needs me elsewhere, someone else can come and reap the fruit of the work that I've been doing. And I'll go serve where I'm needed. That's the kind of ministry, that's the kind of attitude that we need to have in that. So in addition to sharing our ministry, how else we cooperate is we cooperate by supporting the ministry of others. By supporting the ministry of others. We see this in verses 13 to the end here. So the first form of support is that of financial support. So he says in verse 13, diligently help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey so they will lack nothing. So Paul is asking Titus to help Zenas and Apollos with financial or practical support for whatever their journey is. Now, most likely what this is Apollos and Zenas are on a missionary journey and they're stopping off in Crete. Crete is not their mission field, but the churches in Crete at the direction of Titus are being asked to gather support to send them on their way to wherever it is that they are going and the ministry that they are doing. And they're not going to get any practical benefit from it. They're only going to give away. But we know that there's a spiritual benefit from that when we help others who are doing God's work elsewhere. It's a great example of churches and individuals supporting ministries that we are not directly involved with, that we're not necessarily gaining any benefit from. Titus's churches were not going to grow because of help that they give to these guys on their way to somewhere else. At least kind of the practical, the visible things wouldn't say that they would grow. Spiritually, they may be growing, though. He goes on to say, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works for pressing needs. Now, I think this pressing needs could be looked at two different ways. It could be pressing needs within the congregation, and helping one another, helping those who are on hard times, helping those who are in poverty and such. It could also be the pressing needs of these missionaries that are on their way through. So the results of our good works and our labors is that we are then able to help the needs of others. He wants them to learn how to work hard so that they can bless others where there are needs. So, what does this look like here at Salt Creek Church? We cooperate and financially support a number of missionaries and ministries around the world, both here locally and abroad. And this has been in the DNA of this church for decades, a commitment to missions and to see the work of God take place outside the walls of this building and beyond the hands and the feet of this congregation. So I'm just going to run through real quickly. We don't have time to talk about all the good work that happens in these. But some of you are very familiar with this. Some of you get to serve on the missions committee and hear a lot of good updates. So we get a chance to share some updates. Last week we got to hear from Dan Saviola about the work they were doing in Uganda. So, of course, he's not returning in that field, so it's an inactive field for us right now. But let me share with you some of our missionaries here. So that wasn't all supposed to pop up at the same time, but it did, and that's okay. So in South America, we have Dan and Judy Burke in Bolivia working with the Chimani people. Only a handful of non-Chimani that know the language and can put the scriptures into the Chimani language so they can hear the gospel. And Dan and Judy came out of our church a number of years ago. We got Will and Ava Hughes in Chile. Will was an intern here and is now serving, training pastors in Chile and in Argentina in the southern regions there. In Africa, we have the Clarks, Scott and Ruthie Clark, with Wycliffe and other organizations there, working on Bible translations. And Ruthie grew up in this church, and her and Scott serve there and travel back and forth here to the Northwest. And then their daughter, Carissa, and her husband, Oliver, are in Cameroon doing medical missions and doing a good work there. They are going to get to have some rest here soon. Also, through our NAB network, we have teams in Cameroon. We have Cal and Susie Hone. Cal is the field director. And Christy Tinclay, who was a teacher, answered the call of God to go and teach at Rainforest Academy. And when they didn't have an administrator, said, "I'll do it," and is doing double duty there. And be praying for the Rainforest Academy there in Cameroon. Some of you saw the prayer request that went out. They had an armed break-in a couple weeks ago. So just a frightening time. Cameroon as a nation is struggling, difficult times there, and it's beginning to personally impact our missionaries there in Cameroon. In Europe, our NAB missionaries are active there. We have Lotzi and Esther Deroxi in Hungary, and they are national missionaries. They grew up there. Am I too close to that monitor? They're doing some good work in Hungary. We got Paul and Tanya Garricky in Romania at Camp Falcon Rock, bringing that camp up, reaching kids there. And then our NAB Northwest missionaries, Chris and Christy Gorman. And they are our, I thought it was that. Is it the, now I've got it out of this monitor here. It's going to run around. There we go. Okay. Thank you, Brian. So the Gormans who serve the churches in our region with North American Baptist Northwest. And then in addition to all of that with our missionaries, we have organizations. We have the schools that are our North American Baptist schools and our Ministry Resource Fund. We have local ministries as well. And some of you are personally involved in these local ministries, which is phenomenal. And these are ministries that if you're not personally involved, you could get personally involved in these ministries. So we have Dallas Riders for Christ who take kids out on dirt bikes and then share the gospel with them. We've got Child Evangelism Fellowship that creates opportunities all over the place for training and to be able to share Christ with kids. weekday school of the Bible through release time, Bible education. So I tell you, the number of kids in a normal, obviously this is not a normal year for education, but in a normal year, the number of kids that weekday reaches, it's the largest. If you were to consider, like, as a church, size-wise, it's the largest church in the city of Dallas with the number of kids that they minister to. So phenomenal ministry. Union Gospel Mission there in Salem, and, you know, they are building a new facility. They will be able to double their capacity of ministering to men there by the new police station there in Salem. Salem Pregnancy Hope Pregnancy Clinic. We'll get to hear more from them in May, where they are helping women choose life for their child. Our food banks, we serve those. James 2 Kitchen, part of that. Community Mediation Services with Ken Braun. Camp Tapawingo. We get to help send kids to camp where they learn about Jesus, and kids come to. And I know there's some people here that if it wasn't for camp, and Camp Tapawingo in particular, you wouldn't be walking with Jesus today. I know the camp that I went to, I probably wouldn't be walking with Jesus today if it wasn't for that camp. And then Polk Neighbor Link Up, where the churches come alongside people in need here in Polk County. So now we have a couple of new ones, hoping that we can hear from one of these next week, or not next week, next month, and that is Hispanics for Christ. This is a new ministry partner. Hispanics for Christ works throughout the Western Hemisphere, South America, North America, with ministries for Hispanic churches and Hispanic outreaches. And it's headquartered here in the Northwest. I'm mentioning it last because of importance, so certainly not least, and that is the Bell family. Brandon and Angie Bell are new missionaries that, Lord willing, will be on the field this year in Cardiff, Wales, reaching with, ministering to Muslim peoples there. And so we're very excited to see them get on the field this year. So these are the missionaries that we cooperate, the ministries that we cooperate. It is a mouthful. There's a lot that God is doing. And throughout the world, there is so much more that we can't. And I'm certain that there are missionaries and ministries that you personally, I know I have some that I personally give to, that are not on this list. And that's wonderful. That's beautiful. We can't do everybody. You can't do everybody. But together, look how much we can do. Look how big the impact goes when we cooperate and we share together. And so what this means from a practical standpoint is that when you give to the ministry here at Salt Creek Church, you give to all of that as well. Roughly 30% of the monies that are given to Salt Creek Church go out to those missionaries and ministries. An incredible effort to cooperate to reach more. Now, yeah, let me try to find my spot back here. I kind of got a little excited there. So we try to cooperate in personal ways. We do. We want to be personally involved in those. We try to send teams. When we look at where to go as mission trips, we try to go work with our missionaries. All of that being said, there's nothing wrong with just financially giving. Not everybody's able to be personally involved in those ministries. All right? And God honors everything that we give in that for those missionaries and ministries. We see in Scripture the need to work hard so we can have resources to share with those who are working for the kingdom of God. Now, in addition to financial support, there's something that at times is even more important, and that is the emotional and spiritual support. Okay? And those of you who have been on the mission field, you get this. You know it. Paul says in verse 15, he says, all those with me send you greetings. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with all of you. Now, this could be a stretch, but I think this fits here, that it would have been very encouraging for not just Titus, but for all the believers to hear this from Paul, To hear this from a significant leaner, there was encouragement in this. And so what I'm getting at is that sometimes we just stop at meeting physical or financial needs of others, and we don't address the deeper spiritual or emotional needs that they have. But we see Paul was very personal in his letters and personable to people. He cared deeply about what was actually going on in their lives personally, and I think he knew that they needed encouragement as well. And missionaries and ministry leaders need encouragement too. They are real people with real families facing real challenges every single day. They get discouraged. They get lonely. They will be tempted to quit and to give up because of the challenges that they face. All of the frustrations, all of the issues, all of the discouragement that you deal with in life, they deal with too. Life still happens even when you're overseas, even when you are making that commitment to serve God and to do that. Life still happens. It's still challenging. And in many ways, they get a big target on their back from the enemy. Medical issues come up, financial pressures set in, marital conflict happens, challenges with raising children. We've seen one of the families that has their first child, a tremendous amount of medical difficulties that they've been through with him. It is not always easy. It's often challenging. And we've been able to help with some of these at different points. And one of our efforts in missionary care is to make sure that our missionaries know that we're more about than writing a check. That when they need prayer, that they can say, hey, we need prayer in this. We had a couple, we helped them with marital counseling, one of our missionary couples at one point, because the pressures were hard. And then adjusting back to life here is challenging and debriefing. And so the emotional, the spiritual, the prayer, the letting them know that you know that they're out there, that you care about what happens to them. And some of them have mentioned to us how much an email means, getting on Facebook and dropping a message to them. Listen, we are really without excuse in this day and age of instant electronic communication to not check in and see how our friends on the mission field are doing. And so it makes a huge difference, them knowing that they are not forgotten. And they will tell you that it matters. All those little communication things, it might seem simple to you, it might seem insignificant to you, but to them, it can be huge. And God's timing in it is incredible. How many times that when you think about it, and if you act on it, and you will hear many, many times them say, that message of encouragement came at just the right time. God has a way of doing that, of putting them on your heart for a reason. So remember, in this idea of cooperating in our ministry, supporting other ministries, no single one of us is talented enough, smart enough, or gifted enough to accomplish all the work that God has for us. God works through us as a community of believers, the body of Christ. So we cooperate together, we support one another, for in doing the work together, we more beautifully reveal the body of Christ to the world around us. There is beauty in doing it together because God designed it that way. Let me pray for us before we come to the table. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, for the example given to us from Paul and Titus and others of how they worked, their attitudes of humility, of sharing the ministry, of giving it away, of celebrating the success of others. God, what a beautiful thing. Lord, may we learn from that. May we drink deeply of it, God. For you are the one who is doing all of this work in and through us. None of it is about ourselves, but it is all about you and bringing you glory, Lord. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.